We've been sharing in these past lessons about being a new person in Christ, being a new creature in Christ, a new person, someone that hasn't existed before. And I like what the New Living Translation shares. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone." That old life is gone. A new life has begun. And it goes on to say, and this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself. How? Through Christ. And God has given us this task. He's given us some responsibilities, right? He's given us this task of what? Reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. And then it goes on. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his what? His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, right? We plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. How were we made right? We were made right. We were made righteous in him, in Christ. So that means if you're righteous, you're an overcomer. And this is something you're going to have to prove by faith. What do I mean? You already are. That's why when it says, he said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, in the Passion Translation, "But God still loved us with such a great love. He is so rich in compassion and mercy. Even when we were dead and doomed in our many sins," boy, I know I was dead and doomed. How many one here were dead and doomed? Well, I look back now, I said, man, thank you, Jesus. If you think you had it better before, you're kidding yourself. We were dead and doomed in our sins. He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by his wonderful grace. And I like what 1 John in the Passion Translation, 1 John 3:9, it says, "Everyone who is truly God's child will refuse." See, this is proving, isn't it? You refuse something, you're proving something. It says here, you refuse to keep sinning. Doesn't mean you don't miss it, but you refuse to keep sinning. Because why? God's seed remains within him. And he's unable to continue sinning. I like this, because he's been fathered by God himself. We've been fathered by God, and his seed remains in me. That's why we can't continue to do some of the things we used to do. We're brand new creatures in Christ. I've got his very life in me now. Glory to God. So one of the things that, that was rolling around in my heart, let's go over to, I want to look at Colossians chapter 2. We've got a lot. Well, let's look at first, before we go there, let's look at John 15. John chapter 15 and verses 3 through 5. In the Passion Translation, You know, we heard a lot this past week about hearing, seeing, and doing, and being connected with him, connected to him. First of all, because of fellowship, he, one of the things that this, just think about this, that through the new birth, we were delivered from death, spiritual death. We were delivered from poverty, and we were delivered from sickness and disease. So we were delivered from these three things. We were delivered from death, spiritual death. We were delivered from what? Poverty. And we were delivered from what? Sickness and disease. We were delivered from it. What does that mean? The power of darkness has been broken. I've been delivered from what? The power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear son. So those things don't have the power or the right to control you anymore. I think one of the things that kept coming up through these meetings is that the devil is looking for a voice. We are what? We are a spirit. God is a spirit. John 4:24 and Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, 27, it says what? God is a spirit, and we are made in the image and likeness of God. So we are a spirit. The real me is a spirit. And this is why it's so important. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And what does Revelation say? We overcome by the blood and the what? The word, the words of our testimony. So God is looking for our voice. And so is the devil. That's why it's so important when you've received something from God, keep your words right. Keep your words right. Don't be weary in speaking words. See? Don't get weary with that, because you shall reap if you faint not. Don't get weary in speaking words, because those words are seeds. Did you ever think about that? Words are containers. Words are containers of something that came out of where? Comes out of your soulish realm, comes down, gets into your heart, and what's from the heart is spoken. So that word is really a container of your faith. What you speak is what you believe. So it's important that we don't get weary, that God is looking for our voice here in this earth. And the devil works hard at trying to get us to confess things, say things that gives him the right to do something in your life. He has no right to do something in your life. Yeah, he may touch your body in this earth realm, but he doesn't have the right to stay there if you command him to go. You say, well, I've been saying some things. Okay, ask the Holy Ghost. If it's of faith, it has to change. You know why I know that? Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall what? Say unto this obstacle, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have them. So God is looking for our voice, and so is the devil. He will tempt you to to say things, to release something into this earth realm that gives him the right to do something. You open the door. Now, I'm not blaming anybody. We've all done it. So have I. But we need to be hearing him, seeing, and then doing what he says. So here in John 15, I love this, in the Passion Translation, it says, "The words I've spoken over you have already cleansed you." Oh yeah. "So you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit." See, this is why we can't be severed from the vine. "So your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine and you're my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from where? Within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless." So we need to be connected with him. We need to be connected. So God is looking for us. One of the things that, let me jump over here. Luke, I want to look at Luke in the Passion Translation. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 11. Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 11. And this is in the Passion Translation. They may put it up. They may not. I don't know where it is, but if they put it up, great. But I'll read it. Starting in verse 11, this is Luke chapter 8 in the Passion Translation. It says, "Here then is the deeper meaning to my parable." This is the parable of the sower. "The word of God is the seed that is sown where? Into our hearts. The hard pathway represents the hard hearts of men who hear the word of God, but the slanderer, the devil, quickly snatches away that was sown in their hearts to keep them from believing and experiencing salvation. Verse 13, "The seed falling on the gravel represents those who initially respond to the word with what? With joy. But soon afterward, when a season of harassment of the enemy and difficulty come to them, they wither and fall away, for they have no root in the truth. And their faith is temporary." This is why we need to keep watering our faith. Verse 14, "The seed that falls into the weeds." This is the third kind of ground, that which has thorns and thistles. "Represents the hearts of those who hear the word of God, but their growth is quickly choked off by their what? Their anxious cares, the riches of this world, and the fleeting pleasures of this life. This is why they never become mature and fruitful." Then verse 15, "The seed that fell into good, fertile soil represents those lovers of truth who do what? Hear it deep within their hearts. They respond by clinging to the word, keeping it dear as they endure all things in faith. This is the seed that will one day bear much fruit in their lives. This is why it's important when we say prove all things. This means that if you've sown seed in your spirit, keep watering it, keep watering it, keep speaking it until there's fruit, there's production. Sometimes we give up too quick. We give up too soon. We don't wait for the harvest. You've got to keep the, what does it say? You've got to hear it. Then you've got to see it. You've got to keep it or do it, right? Keeping it dear as they do what? Endure all things in faith. So keeping something is also going to require us to do what? Endure some things. We don't like to hear that sometimes. We don't want to endure. We want it yesterday, right? So if the seed of healing was planted, then continue to water it and stick with it no matter what until what? The harvest is produced. If the seed of prosperity was planted, then continue to do what? Water it and stick with it no matter what it looks like until a harvest is produced. Keep with it. Be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. So it's important that if we've sown a seed and it's dear to you, the word of God is dear. If you've sown that seed, keep watering it. Stick with it until you see the harvest. Man, I'm telling you, this is dear to me. There's some things, you know, when you hear those old colloquialisms that Brother Hagin, he said, you know, he just like a dog with a panic. I'm not letting go. You're not going to let go. Why? Because you're proving God's word. You're saying, God, you said this, I've done this, and I'm standing and I'm expecting it to come to pass. I'm expecting the money that I've sown to produce an abundant harvest. I'm expecting the seed of the word concerning my health and healing to produce. It must produce. You got to prove them. And it's okay to say, God, you said this, and I'm holding you to it. Glory to God. Same thing with love. If you've sown the seed of love, keep watering it. Keep watering it. Keep watering it until it produces a harvest. Keep working. Keep working at it. Keep proving it. Glory to God. A determined heart is a heart that's fixed. Glory to God. A determined heart is a heart that's fixed. Let's turn over. I want to just touch on this a moment this morning. Talking about overcoming, but part of overcoming is that I've got time. I'm going to read this. Let's look at the King James in 1 Thessalonians 2. And verse 12 and 13. You know, when there's an adversity, the scripture gives us some, as you know, some guidelines on what to do. Gives us some instructions on what to do. When you're in the heat of things, it doesn't feel good, does it? Your mind is going, it's not going to work. It doesn't look like it. Your mind is not a true guide, is it? Now, yes, the scripture says I have the mind of Christ, but if your mind is not thinking in line with his word, toss it out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2 and 12 and 13, it says, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom in glory. For this cause also thank we God, what? Without ceasing. Because, why do we thank him, as it says, without ceasing? Because, when ye received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which does what? Effectually works also in you that believe. So when you receive the word of God, not as the word of men, but as the word of God, and it does what? Because you did, and you rejoice, it says, without ceasing. You thank God without ceasing. You count him faithful that promised. And so it works in me because I do what? 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 Thank you. So the word of God works in us because we believe it. We're proving it. Glory to God. What is James chapter 1? Let's look at the New Living Translation. James chapter 1. Verses 2, 3, and 4 in the New Living. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it. This is proving. Consider it. This is something you're going to have to choose to do. Consider it an opportunity for what? Great joy. For you know that when your what? Your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. This is patience. Your endurance has a chance to grow. You know, how many like going to the gym? That's what I figured, not too many. But we like the results. We just don't like to endure. But we sure like the results. So it says here, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Verse 4, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. What does that mean? You've proved it. You've proved it. You need nothing. But you let your endurance work. You had to prove something. You just didn't throw in the towel. You just didn't quit. You just stuck with it. You examined the problem, you looked at it, and you said, God's faithful, we're going through. We're going over. We're going to receive this. I believe I have it. And you keep watering your faith with the word of God. I like what, this is the Wuest translation, W-U-E-S-T. In verse 2, it says, be constantly rejoicing. I like that. See, that doesn't mean, ha, 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 on Monday, But then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're wringing our hands. It says, be constantly rejoicing. Be constantly rejoicing. What? When all this stuff is hitting the fan. Be constantly rejoicing. Consider it a matter for unadulterated joy. When something's adulterated, that means something's been added to it. That means it's not pure. Something's been added. You know, you like your iced tea, and somebody says, well, add a little lemonade to it. Well, it's not iced tea anymore. It's iced tea and something else. It's been adulterated. It's not pure. Or you take water and add something to it. It's now not pure water. So we're to do what? Consider this a matter for what? Unadulterated joy. What does it say? Whenever you fall in the midst of trials which surround you, consider it maximum joy. I like that. That's the Berkeley. Consider it maximum joy. Didn't say it felt like joy. You're going to have to prove God's word. You're going to have to say, you know what? I don't feel like laughing, but I know God said something in his word, and it's coming to pass, and I'm going to rejoice. That takes faith. Faith in God, faith in his word, faith in his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we're to be constantly rejoicing. Amen. I like the Renner translation, Rick Renner's translation. He said, but let patience have her perfect work. I'm talking about the kind of attitude that hangs in there, never giving up, refusing to surrender to obstacles, and turning down every opportunity to quit. So when you feel like quitting, you go, nope, not today. Not going to happen. We're not quitting. We're not giving up. We're not giving in. Amen. You know, you've got to prove some things. I like in Hebrews 11:6, if they put up the Passion Translation. Says, and without faith living within us. See, I like this particular translation in the Passion. Faith has to do what? Live in you. Faith is alive. Faith lives in us. Faith comes from the living Word of God, and faith is alive in us. And what does it say? Without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. So it's not just, you can't say, I believe, and then you're not acting, you're not doing something, because something that's alive in you, you will use, you will do. You will prove it. I know for me, there's times when I've felt, you know, have experienced things in my life where they're seemingly obstacles, whether physical, whether financial, whether, you know, whatever it is, family, whatever it is. And those obstacles come, and you keep meditating and feeding on the Word of God. A word comes, something rises up out of your spirit, and you speak it. You speak it. It's what? Alive. And I can tell you that when that rhema word is enlightened in your heart, you don't just go, oh, isn't that nice? No, because you're facing something, seeking God, proving him, asking him, what should I do? I'm meditating on the word. And when the light comes, you go, that's it. And you speak it with what? Mousiness? No, boldness. Because the light has come. Revelation has come. The answer has come. You don't just sit back and go, wasn't that nice? No, you're rejoicing. Because now all of a sudden, you got an answer from God. And so faith, when it's alive, is spoken. Faith that's alive is spoken. You know, if you're not speaking your faith, then I ask the question. I'm not putting anybody on the spot, but when faith is alive and it's in your heart, it's spoken. When faith is in your head and it's just mental, it's just nice, isn't it? It's cute. But you're not speaking it because it's not alive. When something's alive, you know, think about this. When you love somebody, it's alive. And you don't go, you're not one of them silly spouses that go, well, I told you I loved you 10 years ago. We'll pray for you. But when your love is alive, you say so. When your faith is alive, you say so. You speak it. And that's why the devil tries to get you to have faith in the negative. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall do what? Eat the fruit thereof. So when faith is alive, it pleases God. And he that cometh unto God believes that he is, and he's my rewarder. And I've got to diligently seek him. What does that mean? I'm proving him, I'm proving him, I'm proving him, I'm proving him with living faith that's in my heart and spoken out of my mouth. Hallelujah. Keep watering it. Keep watering it. Keep rejoicing. You know, if you've got living faith, you're rejoicing. If you've got living faith, you're rejoicing. Not moaning, because it's alive in here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I hope you're getting something out of this morning. Glory to God. Let me read this and we'll close. This is, I'm going back to Luke chapter 8, and verse 15. This is in the Message translation and the New Living. Just verse 15, Luke 8, verse 15. I'm going to read this in the Message translation. It says, but the seed, and we know the word, it says it's the word of God, but the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. Oh, yes. Sticking with it until there's a harvest. A good heart, good ground, good soil. Let's look at the New Living Translation. Verse 15 of Luke 8, it says, and the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people. Who's a good-hearted person? someone who hears God's word, clings to it, and patiently produce a huge harvest. Isn't that good news? So you got to prove something. Prove the word of God. Prove it. What does that mean? I'm just hooking up a little bit from the prayer conference. You got to hear it. Hold on to it. Prove it. And do it. And that word produces a living faith in us. And that living faith is spoken. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 4:13, we who have believed therefore speak. So we who have a living faith should be speaking something, decreeing something. That's why when you saw, if you listen to Jim Hockaday, just highlighting, a lot of things, even with Brother Hagin, they traveled so much with him, they were around him so much, and they observed him so much. If you read Brother Hagin, some of his testimonies, I'm just thinking of one. This person, he said, Brother Hagin said this was a friend of someone he knew, a minister. He had to take insulin. I guess he had to shoot insulin every day for diabetes. And Brother Hagin said he was going to travel. He was going to be doing some, you know, crusades for 3, 4, 5 weeks, whatever the length was. And he told this minister, you come with me. Travel with me. He said, as long as you're with me, he said, you won't have to take that insulin. He said, and you know what he wrote in his book? I didn't hear from God. He said, I decreed it. I spoke it. Because why? He knew who he was in Christ. We are made in the image and likeness of God. We are to decree things. Not just out of your head, out of your spirit. That's why I'm so, you know, you may think, well, I don't know about that. What did the Lord say to Pastor Sarah through Brother Copeland? I'll remind you. He said, watch. He said, I'm increasing the anointing upon your words. Watch your words. He said, even in jest. Watch your words. So sometimes we think, you know, I just said this. No, watch your words. Yeah, I know we kid around. I know that. And sometimes there's a place to have a laugh or two. We don't want to get in the ditch either. But the things that change things, the things that mean something, the things that affect something and impact something, we want to be speaking those things out of our hearts and decreeing something. Things that are promised in the Word of God. Just think about, I want to read this scripture here and then we'll close. I know I shared that, but Colossians chapter 1, if you turn over there, I believe it's verses 11, we'll close with this. Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 11, I'm sorry, I just got a tissue here. starting in verse 12. In the King James, it says what? Giving thanks unto who? The Father, which has what? Made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us, not going to, says he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. And then what does it say? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So when you think about this, what have we been, it says here, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. What have we been redeemed from? We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed. If you go over to Deuteronomy 28, we've been redeemed from spiritual death. We've made Deuteronomy 28. We've been redeemed from poverty and sickness. We're the redeemed. And when that is alive in you, you'll speak it. You won't wonder. You'll say, no, you can't touch me. You can't touch my children. You can't touch my wife. You can't touch my husband. You can't touch my family. You can't touch my goods. You can't touch my body. I'm redeemed. And I overcome by the blood. I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And I overcome by the blood and the word of this living faith that's in me. The word of the covenant. Hallelujah. So I'd encourage you, give thanks this week. Be constantly rejoicing because you're the redeemed. You're an overcomer. You're redeemed. And speak it. Speak that word that's alive in you. Even if it's just a little bit, speak it. Get up in the morning, rejoice. Say, thank you, Father, for being redeemed. Thank you that I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We don't realize how powerful that really is. Demons tremble at the blood. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Demons tremble at the blood, and demons tremble at the name of Jesus. They tremble. They're looking for you to tremble. No. We're bold as a lion, and we don't back up. We go forward. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Father, we thank you. We're so grateful today that we are the redeemed of the Lord. We're so grateful that we're washed in the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, even for those that have gone on before us. But we thank you, Father, that soon and very soon, you shall call us up, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and we shall all rejoice with you. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name today. Amen. But before we leave and we disconnect from streaming, perchance anybody who's here, if you've heard the gospel message today, and you've heard about Jesus, and you know that Jesus is the Christ, maybe you knew that, but maybe today in your heart, something came alive and you said, you know what? I believe that he is the Christ. I just never said with my mouth. I never expressed with my mouth what I believe. Then today's your day. If you decide, okay, today I want to make Jesus my Lord. You know, sometimes we don't talk about it enough. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And Jesus spent, if you go through the Gospels and you look at, Jesus spent a considerable amount of time in his ministry talking about hell. So we need to sometimes not talk about it from the standpoint of fear, but remind people there's a hell, there's a literal hell, and there's a literal heaven. And you would not want anybody to go to hell. No one. First of all, because he died for everybody, and he's not holding their sins against them anymore. All one needs to do is accept what he did on the cross. And do what? Believe that in their heart, confess it with their mouth, and they're instantly changed. And that's the gospel message that we need to. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. We are to share the good news of the gospel. So if you're here today or you're watching online and you believe that and today you desire that, or maybe you got away from the Lord, maybe you got away from God and now you've decided, you know what? I need to change some things before it's too late. Let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that in your great mercy, you sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. And you sent Jesus here to die for all mankind. And he took my sins, and he took those and my sicknesses, and went to hell in my place. And when sin was paid for, your word says that we were raised from the dead. And now I thank you and receive Jesus as my Savior. I receive him now as my Lord. I ask him into my heart. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said that simple prayer and you meant that from your heart, then you got born again. And we rejoice with you. And if you're watching online, just reach out to us either by phone or by email or write us and let us know that you've become a Christian. You prayed this prayer with us on this Sunday, November 28th, and you got saved. Hallelujah. And we'll send you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God.